We've asked Brother Tim Allen to open in prayer.
Just before our prayer, I'd like to just hopefully get our hearts and minds. This will be my testimony. Going back to Boundless Grace 37, come thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart a song to raise, streams of favor never ceasing, call for notes of heartfelt praise. But beyond this grateful salvation, God hath shown me wondrous grace, called me with a heavenly calling, ever to behold his face. And I hope that you will not hold back your testimonies. And I bring you this scripture from Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifice, God is pleased. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness and your wonderful blessings to us daily. We thank you for these brethren that sit in this room and throughout the world who want to please you and can only please you with your help. Father, fill our hearts right now that your Spirit fills this room to capacity. Do not hold back these lips of testimony. We look forward to your beautiful face someday. We ask forgiveness for our sins, our shortcomings. We ask, Father, that you will guide and direct the rest of our day. We ask a special blessing on Sister or Brother Darcy right now as he leads our thoughts and minds. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Tim and Sister Rosemary on the piano. Brother Russell called testimony meeting the most important meeting. I think as we've come through our Christian walks, we've come to understand how true that statement is. Testimony is made up by us, by the participants, pouring out their hearts and minds and their experiences one with another in this one body. But we have to direct our thoughts. We are privileged to have Brother Darcy Andrus. I'll turn the meeting over to him.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Good morning, dear friends. We spoke with my good wife last evening, and she wanted to make sure that her love and greetings were extended to all of you here at convention today. So this is our testimony hour, actually a little over an hour. The text for today we've considered, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Romans 13:12. Well, brethren, isn't that what it's been accomplished this weekend? Putting on the armor of light, looking at the word of truth, appreciating what the Heavenly Father's plan is all about and the privilege we have in participation, preparing ourselves for the battle as we go forth into the world. The scripture texts we have, consider those. Have you been lifting up the head? Have you been considering what great things the Lord has in store for you? All we have to do is be faithful. Convention is divided to some degree into three parts. There are brethren who have the privilege of sharing the benefits of their studies from the platform with you. You have the privilege of conversing, fellowshipping one with another to share your thoughts and experiences. And then there is the testimony meeting. And that is the time when you get to share those thoughts and lessons and experiences with each other. So this is your meeting, brethren. It is my understanding we will have two microphones. Please wait for them to get to you, and be sure and let us know who you are and with what ecclesia you are meeting. But I understand that before we do this, we have a prayer put to him, music, as the pastor describes the hymns. And there is a quartet that will be singing for us.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to him in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every
beautiful. And friends, consider, if you take those words to heart and apply them, you will have the opportunity of listening to the God of the universe joy over you in song. Please share your experiences with us. Sister Agnes?
Brother Darcy and dear brethren, it is a real joy and a blessing to be here. And not only here, because last weekend we had a beautiful convention too, and the blessings seem to keep going and going and going. And it's really encouraging from the lessons we have heard, and that I may take them home and be able to forgot the word. Anyway, continue to renew them and encourage myself to be more faithful to that covenant that I made with the Heavenly Father. And also, it's a real privilege to sit with Jesus at his feet, just as Mary Magdalene did when she prepared our Lord's body for his burial. And she poured that oil, alabaster oil, upon Jesus' head, and I think it ran down to his body and down. And that is another blessing that we have shared here at the convention, is the memorial season, the Passover season, which is before, coming shortly. And I just want to read this little poem here that I have. The purple grapes must be crushed to make the sweet wine red, and furnace fires must firmly, fiercely burn the dross gold to refine. The wheat must cruelly grind, else where the jewels light, and the steel submit to the polishing, or how would the sword grow bright? How then, my soul, with thee, with thou, the spirit's fruit possess, except thou lovingly yield thyself to the hands that wounds to bless? Then patiently let the fire consume all earthly dross, or all of our earthly imperfections. Thou canst not hope to wear the crown if thou refuse the cross. And dear brethren, I need your prayers, because at the memorial season, the experiences are more difficult, and I've had some experiences. And I'm thankful to the Heavenly Father that I'm still walking in that narrow path and crystallizing this character of mine into that Christ-likeness. Please remember me in prayer as I remember all the brethren. I'm Sister Agnes Seawalk from Waka, Saskatchewan. That's about 100 miles from Saskatoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Agnes. And we do rejoice with you in the blessings that the Lord bestows. And indeed, if we look at it properly, all of our experiences, whether difficult or easy, our blessings of the Lord. And may you go forth to share those and anoint the head of your brethren. Here.
Brother Darcy and dear brethren, my name is Fred Yesenchuk from Edmonton, Alberta. And I thank my Heavenly Father for that he has granted you brethren here to put up such a beautiful convention, and I'm one of the recipients of the blessings of this convention.
Let's switch microphones here. I don't think that one's working.
Start all over again?
No, I think just continue on.
No, I'm deeply privileged and joyful of being in your presence, and I have a lot of greetings from down Edmonton way. All the brethren, we meet at two different places, about 100 miles south of Edmonton in Red Deer. Our meetings are from 11 in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon. We got two studies, and now we switched the second studies to a memorial study, and then we'll go back to our sixth volume study. And the brethren, Brother David Nichols and the Commons, Brother Norman and Ann Commons, Sister Margaret Davis, and the Harms. Sister Harms is 92. Her husband passed away. He was like a pillar in there. And then Diane Stoppler and Bill Harms and the two Golbies. We have beautiful studies north of Edmonton, about 80 miles. That's the first volume study from 7 to 8:30 in the evening, and they all want their loving greetings passed to you. And I spoke with my sister Ann Boychuk, Frank's wife, the other day. She says, pass our greetings, because I was on my way here, and pass the greetings to the brethren in Seattle. And like Sister Agnes just told you, we were at the Winnipeg Convention last weekend. Brother David Kirkham probably told you more about it. And Brother Frank is coming along well, coming well. His mind and his speech are both very well. He has a bit of problem with his balance. And his speech is slow, but we're happy that his mind and his speech is good. And they ask have their love and greetings to you all. I have lots to take back to Edmonton. I took notes, and we'll have the tapes and a disc going back, so I'll have lots for the brethren there. So I pray for me, and we'll remember you also. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Fred. We appreciate your coming all this way to bring that entire load of love to us, and we know that you will receive a blessing as you take the blessings of this convention back with you. May the Lord continue to bless you.
Dear Brother Darcy, beloved brethren, I'm very thankful to be here and grateful for the overruling providences of the Lord to give us such a rich feast to feed upon. All his divine truths are so precious, but, you know, just to have them reiterated in a little different language maybe or different expressions is so wonderful. It helps it sink deep into our hearts. The joy comes from the bottom of my heart, and I'm thankful, for each of you who have come here. And at this time, I count it a privilege to bring the love of Sister Lydia. She would love to have been here, but Brother Lawrence and I didn't feel we were up to it and didn't think she would be really either. So we trust that was a wise decision, because she does love to see your faces and renew acquaintance as best she can. She will be 100 years old on May the 24th. We are going to have a little gathering for her at our home on May the 21st for family and a few brethren, because we can't have all we'd like to have. But if she lives that long, we're looking forward to honoring her in that way. But I was thinking that's such a thing of the earth, not really that important. The Lord has honored her with the truth since 1920, when she was immersed at 15 years of age. And she has been able to serve him in so many ways, and we're thankful for that example. And I shouldn't be doing this, but when we go to visit her, her mind wants to be on the truth. So she's not interested in worldly affairs or anything else. It's this one thing I do she still has in her heart and mind. And she is able, by the Lord's grace, to have had laid the foundation of the truth and have so many texts put to memory, especially the vow and the morning resolve and the manna text. She'll just finish every one of them. And so we're grateful for that, to see the manifestation of his spirit shining forth still from her in her feeble condition. So, brethren, my personal testimony is one of praise and honor to him, and I want to continue to keep my sacrifice upon that altar and have it fully concerned, that I might continue or hope to be an honor and a glory to his name throughout eternity. And I'm thankful for each one of you that have helped me in this narrow way and lifted up my hands. I hope to be a blessing to you too in some small way. Lord be praised.
Thank you, Sister Jean. And we appreciate your sharing that about Sister Lydia, and we miss seeing her as well at the convention, but we know that she still appreciates the truth, and that's the important thing. We pray that the Lord will continue to bless you and strengthen you, and you know that he does, of course, bottle those tears up.
Yes, I know.
Who would be next?
Sister Agnes. Brother Darcy and brethren, I'm Brother Jerry Leslie with the Portland class, Portland, Oregon. Our thoughts are maybe not really solidified as sometimes we try to make them, so bear with me a little bit. Reflecting upon the blessings of this convention and then kind of spreading out, the blessings have been sitting here absorbing the good messages from the platform, the fellowship, sweet fellowship in the home. But these things go back a long ways. I think that one of my very first conventions was like 50 years ago here in Seattle, or pretty close to it. But we were reflecting with the Kirkham home a little earlier in the very early conventions, and Sister Jean just mentioned Sister Lydia, 100 years old, think of that. And it was in Seattle here, I think 89 years ago, that Brother Russell served. At the same convention was Brother William A. Baker. Same convention. Brother Russell served here in 1916, just weeks before he died. Brother Baker served on the same platform. It was Brother Baker and Sister Matilda who took me to this convention the first time. There's some kind of bridges here, you know, bridges in time, generations, heritage. And what is the bond, the connection between all these things? You know, we're sitting here all together, and we're all somehow connected to another time and space. What's the glue that keeps us together? Brother Obi spoke upon the covenant. We're all children of the covenants, but none of us have been born yet, that covenant. We're still in the womb of this covenant. The bones are still being formed. And I was just speaking, I know he didn't use this text, but I was thinking about it. In Ecclesiastes 11, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, or how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. But Sarah is our mother, and we're being formed. What changes us from this little seed to our hope of being born? For who shall call upon the name of the Lord, from Romans 10, verse 13? How shall they call upon him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe on whom they have not heard? And the following verses... How beautiful upon the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bringeth glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. It's the word of truth. And I remember sitting at some of those early conventions, and I didn't quite understand all that was going on. But there was something coming into my ears. You know, you heard the scriptures. I didn't know why the speaker went from one text to another and how he put this all together and even maybe what his main theme was. But you know, little by little, we were absorbing this, just like a little embryo child. I guess I have to say that after these years, I'm beginning to understand what the speaker's saying. You know, and it's beautiful understanding the connection of why he's going to that next text, what his message is. You can almost anticipate the flow. Well, the Lord's word and spirit is changing us somehow. You know, we're glad we were sitting there and just hearing, getting little fragments of these things. But we have to, it takes time. How long does it take to bring to the birth a spiritual child? It takes 9 months for human beings. Does it take 50 years? Well, he says, Sister Lydia was consecrated in 1920. Does it take 85 years? How long does it take? Brethren, the process is worth it. It's the real joy of listening to the message of truth. But even then, you know, we're sitting here listening to these wonderful messages. But the real work in the womb is when we go home, we absorb it, we think about it, we prove it. It's something to say, I can repeat the words of somebody else, or I'm a follower of so-and-so, or I read so-and-so's literature. But when that, you know, I'm listening to these things, and now it's more like it's confirming. It's adding evidence, and it's the beautiful details. It's filling out the picture more and more. And this is a delight. So we need to use this truth and be grounded in it ourselves with total confidence between myself and the Lord. Our faith is not dependent upon another's confidence and courage or rhetoric. It's a faith that if others fall away, we should not. Because why? Because the Lord is developing your bones and my bones, spiritual bones that are strong. Let us be strong, brother. I thank the Lord for the blessings of the life that has led me to this day.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, for encouraging us along those lines. And we really have been given a precious responsibility. No other beings, neither human nor angel, have been given the responsibility the church has of declaring the truth of this wondrous plan. And it really is line upon line, precept upon precept. We all desire to know it all, but we'll only gain that if we're faithful. May the Lord continue to bless you. Oh, over here and then.
Good morning, brethren. I'm Brother Cass from Vancouver, BC. I'd like to express how much appreciation I have that me and my family were able to come here today. And just yesterday we thought we wouldn't be able to make it. First of all, I'd like to bring love to you of my parents, Brother Eugene and Helena Sharkovich. Also love from my parents-in-law, Brother Joseph and Maria Potempa. I also would like to relate a little to Brother Jerry's testimony that it takes time for all of us to get to understand the words. And how lovely it sounds when a little baby will say, "Mommy, we know about God. We can read it in the Bible." Sometimes we wonder, is it too early or is it too late that we start bringing our children to the meetings? Sometimes we wonder whether we are doing a good job bringing them, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort that we have to do to make sure that our children are here with us. And I'd like to thank you, brethren, for bearing with us. And yes, they are noisy sometimes, but please be with us. Bear with us. Bear with the children that are coming here and are spending the time. I know they would rather be somewhere else. But the work that we will put in right now, it's something that we can profit from later on. And once again, I'd like to thank the speakers for the lessons that we get here. And it's a joy being here. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for your testimony, and we trust that the Lord will bless you as you strive to execute the responsibility of a parent. And we have the joy of knowing that our parent will always make the right decisions on our behalf. May the Lord continue to bless you. Brother Tom had his hand up.
Brother Darcy and dear friends, Brother Thomas Cannell from the North Seattle Discalicia here. We've been very pleased to have all of you be able to come. I'm thankful to the Lord for not only this wonderful new creature, but the physical strength to be able to be here today. I also was thinking about brethren of the past and the influence and those things, and we were kind of on a theme that way, and my mind went to it. 5 years ago today, Brother Norman Rice finished his earthly course, and we think about others that were close to us or around us growing up. I might have been just a child, but I heard some of the messages that came through on these, and the upholding of the truth, the standard was kept very high, and it's very much appreciated. Also, everyone in here has a talent, and I see many that are using them. The labors of love, anything to do when it comes to saying yes to any service doesn't have to be known to anyone. You'd be doing for others all the time, and it's not for self-recognition. It's because maybe the Lord has put those thoughts in our minds. Maybe they've done to do this. Do with it what's in thy hands. Appreciate those examples of my brethren. Know that I need some work. And appreciate his long-suffering with me. And that's why I'm testifying to his goodness, his wonderful goodness. And I see it in all of you. Your smiles one to another, the common ground why we're here. And it's very much appreciated. I also think of many of the other brethren's past that I haven't mentioned. I also think of more recently with my own father, Brother Don Connell. And I think of him every day because I still drive the van that he was able to go in with his motorized wheelchair towards the last part of his life. And there's reminders many often. The Lord speaks to me through some of those reminders, and I'm very, very thankful for that. All of you have touched my heart one way or another. Just wanted you to know that, and appreciate it ever so much that all of you will be able to attend this convention. But we also know we have the wonderful privilege of prayer. Without it, we really can't do much, can we? And we appreciate this also, and please pray for me, dear brethren, as I count a privilege to continue to pray for all of you that we can keep on keeping on in this most holy faith.
Thank you, Brother Tom. Certainly, we can appreciate those that we've had the privilege of knowing in the way that have pointed us to our Lord. The Apostle told us to follow him as he followed Jesus, and so we should follow one another as we see each of us headed towards the Lord. And we trust that those considerations will continue to encourage you and that you will strive also, as you have indicated, to be a blessing and one who points to the Lord for others. May the Lord continue to bless you. Sister Joy?
Brother Darcy and dear brethren, we're thankful to be here, especially have enjoyed the Seattle Convention. And I'm Sister Joy Blackman from Salem, Oregon. And brethren, what a friend we have in Jesus. What care we have in our Father. And I was thinking, as Brother Jerry was talking, he said, what holds us together? It's that scarlet thread dipped in the blood of Christ, isn't it? It's interwoven into our lives, and that's what holds us together. And aren't we glad? Because we have such a wonderful, loving Father and a dear Lord Jesus who is our best friend. And we just can't thank him enough, and we can't thank you enough for the platform and the encouragement here. And I was thinking that scripture, I don't think I've ever noticed it before, but I know I've read it, because I've read through the Bible, but, oh God, remember me for good. Last part of Nehemiah. And that's what we want, don't we? We want him to remember us for good. That we might, I think that scripture, and I know you've heard me say it a good many times, we have a charge to keep to glorify our God. And that's what we do want to do, dear brethren. When we love, we want to love to give it away, to serve for others but not be served. We want to keep on doing for others to the glory of our Father. Pray for me, I'll be faithful.
Thank you, Sister Joy. We do pray for you. And certainly as we put on that Christ-like character, we can do nothing less than love and strive to do for others. Look what he's done for us. May he continue to bless you.
My loving brethren in Christ, I'm Alan Zembic from Saskatchewan. I'm here with my daughter Marisha, and we're very pleased that the Lord has allowed and delivered us to the North Seattle Convention. And I too would like to take a few minutes of your valuable consecrated time to raise my voice in letting you all know the joy that is flowing over in me too. But before I do that, I've been asked to bring you the love and the best wishes from the brethren whom I meet with at the North Saskatchewan class. And that's Brother Morris and Sister Lil Boychuk, Sister Ann Michalicha, Sister Connie Melnick, Sister Mary Zembic, my mom, and Sister Rebecca Miller, and her husband, Jim, and the two boys, Dominic and Chris. And we have a really wonderful class in Prince Albert, and Marisha and I enjoy the studies there very much. I also want to thank Brother and Sister Goronsky for the love and the encouragement they gave us to attend this heartwarming convention. And also a very big special thank you to Brother and Sisters Beard for the love that they have shown us in letting us feel as if their home was just another extension of ours. And I'm so very happy that Sister Christy and Marisha have met and are forming such a wonderful new and warm relationship. And dear brethren, I'm truly overjoyed to be considered as a hopeful and eternal member of the body of Christ. And as all of us gathered here today share something very special. You know, we walk around in separate bodies, but we are still all united. And you're all a part of me as I am a part of you. And I want to, as I ready myself in preparation for the memorial supper, and so as not to forget any nooks and crannies as I go about cleansing my leaven, I now ask all of you, brethren, to forgive me if I have offended or sinned against any of you in the past months or years. You know, it was never my heart intention to do so, and I'm trying very hard to keep my old flesh under these days, but sometimes I fail. So please forgive me and have mercy on me if I have hurt or stumbled any of you in the past or in present. My little sister Marisha and I are still recovering from the fleshly loss of our darling Michelle, but with the Lord's leadings and help, we are starting to understand the valuable and joyous lessons we have received from this most severe and recent trial that was placed upon us. And I stand before you today a much different and changed, reckoned member of the one body than I was when I was just 6 months ago, before Michelle left us. You know, I didn't recognize the change in me immediately, and it was little Marisha who started to point out these changes in me. And, you know, you may ask, how have I changed? And you know, in a few simple words, the only way I can describe it is, I've been greatly humbled. Humbled in a way I never, ever thought possible. But as stated by one of our brethren in their discourses, is anything not possible for God? And, you know, that which I loved the most on this earth was taken from me, and that which I leaned on the most was taken and pulled out from under me. And the one whom I confided in the most with all my difficulties and my sorrows and my heartaches and my victories and all my growth, she's not here to confide in anymore. So I'm mostly sad when I recall the fleshly memories of my Michelle, but I'm very, very joyous that Michelle did remain faithful unto death, that she was given relief from her ailments and fleshly sufferings on this earth, and I'm very, very glad for all these lessons that the Lord has taught me over the past few months. You know, we have a father who's such an economizer. What a father. He took my darling wife, who suffered so greatly from her fleshly illness. He gave her the rest she cried and longed for. And perhaps, I pray, he even awakened her. And in that process and during this experience, he brought Marisha and I much higher up that narrow way, to a point, I pray, which will ready us to be worthy someday to wear that tentative crown that was given to us upon our consecration, to a point where someday the three of us will hug each other in glory. Brother Freeman told us that nothing happens to any of the called unless it is for a purpose. And I'm so very glad that I now understand some of the purposes that the Lord has had taken in our precious Michelle, and I know that the days that will proceed, there will be more and more understandings that will come apparent to me from her passing. I thank all the brethren for their wonderful phone calls and emails and cards and comfort. And your care and comfort has helped Maresh and I to imbibe that beautiful scripture in 1 Corinthians 12:26, which states, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. So please continue to keep us in your prayers as we do the same for you. And if you have a computer, please write us and send us your love so we may reciprocate. And please share with us some of your gleanings, and from time to time we'll share ours with you. Maresh and I are alone, and we thrive on the messages that come from our brethren. And when we turn our computers on each day, we hope that one of our fellow members has taken the time to send us their love. It's a very, very important part of our day. We share it together. You know, when Michelle died, in my mind, I immediately assumed, as most of us do with our loved ones, that she would have walked into the Most Holy. And I know it was wishful thinking. But then I got to do some deeper thinking, and I thought to myself, do I think the same way when any of my fellow members leaves this earth? Even those who are not close to me, or even those that, you know, I have differences with? And you know, someone shared a dream with me along these lines, a dream that had a very deep and powerful meaning and shivery meaning for me. You know, it was a dream that cautioned me to be very careful how I perceive my fellow members, and a dream in how I even perceive myself. So I'm going to share this short little dream with you. It goes like this. I dreamt death came the other night, and heaven's gate swung wide. With kindly grace an angel came to usher me inside. Yet there to my astonishment stood brethren I'd known on earth. Some I had judged as quite unfit, some of but little worth. Indignant words rose to my lips, but they never were set free. For every face showed stunned surprise. No one expected me. So, my love to all of you, dear friends and brethren, my reckoned members, hoping with all my heart to walk in heaven's gate with you all, and speaking only for myself, I know that no one can go back and make a brand new start. But you know, any of us and all of us can start right now and make a brand new ending. May the Lord bless you all. Love to you.
Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, the Lord, when we say, is anything too hard for the Lord, do we really believe it? And yet when we go through some of the most trying experiences, it's difficult. But after a while, we can look back and see the great blessings that the Lord has provided in those experiences. And as you continue to appreciate those, you will be drawn closer to Him and made fit for a place in His kingdom. May He continue to bless both of you. Sister Kathy?
I'm going to try not to cry. Forgive me. I get very nervous. But we have to say how much the Zimbic staying in our home has changed our consecrated walk in a way that I can't even explain. When I see their examples of how much loss they've had, and dear Sister Marisha, and how strong she is, and how many trials they've had, it makes everything seem so small. And I want to thank the Lord for putting them in our home. It wasn't an accident. We're also don't know how to express thankfulness to the Heavenly Father for Christy making a consecration and all the overruling providences that the Lord showed us. I want the brethren to know that we heard
we appreciated the discourses so very much and want to go home and now prove them to ourselves and look at Josiah and all the wonderful thoughts that were presented from the platform. And I appreciated Brother Jerry Leslie's testimony about really it's a little here, a little there. And sometimes we can study so much, but it doesn't seem like it. We understand it as fully as we want to. And our class is going over Leviticus and 16 and 8 and 9. And it's just been such a blessing to us to go over it and seeing our part and thank the Lord for the opportunity of walking this narrow way of sacrifice. We've been in the way now for 20 years, and it doesn't seem like that long. This baby compared to some of the brethren. But we want to be faithful, brethren. Please pray for us, and please know that we love you very much, and we too want to ask forgiveness for anything that we might have said or done to the brethren. And the Lord has given us so many experiences and blessings at this convention. And we want to thank our Heavenly Father, and we want to thank Him for my mom, Sister Barbara Tanta. She's a very quiet strength, and I want her to know how much we appreciate her. Please pray for us.
Thank you, Sister Kathy. And no, nothing that happens to us is an accident. Everything is overruled. And if we can consider our brethren at any time, we should be able to find something there to emulate, for they are seeking after the Lord and putting on that Christ-like character. So we have a responsibility then to be doing the same for our brethren. We pray that the Lord will continue to bless you with these accidents, and then He will guide you and continue to direct you to be faithful. Oh, over here first. Sister Judy.
Brother Darcy and dear friends, Judy Garrison from Salem, Oregon. Try not to make Brother Matt's arm hurt too long by having to hold it up for so long. We appreciate very much being here, and the Lord's blessing us with lots of good talks and good experiences here and good conversations with our brethren. Lately, we've been really touched by the man attacks. Well, not just lately, but Brother Steve and Sister Rosalie have been very faithful in sending those out to us. And it is as though the Lord has directed them, especially for our little ecclesia and for me, Sister Judy. Appreciated this last, and that's been going on for over a year. It's just been really zeroing in on experiences that we needed help on. But recently, we were very touched by the fact that the article mentions that it's not the doctrinal issues that we are that develops our faith, that we are supposed to be developing faith that is a continuous confidence in God. And of course, it is our doctrinal understanding that helps us to have this continuous confidence in God. And the whole reason for this is to develop character, because that's what we're to be doing, not to become really sharp in all of the doctrines and the dates and being able to explain the Jubilees prophetically and otherwise, that other way. But that it will develop character for us. That's what the Lord is looking for, our character. And then He's so loving and so kind that He'll take these fruits of the Spirit and accept them as our talents, that we can use the fruits of the Spirit as talents for Him. And that's very humbling, because not many of us have 5 talents, 4 talents, 3 talents. Some of us barely make 2 talents, and for most of us probably 1 talent. But if He could take that 1 talent that we really have and then add to that the fruits and graces of the Spirit, and if we're using those, gentleness, kindness, love, joy, peace, and using those as our talents, then he could really use us in the service of the Lord that way. And that's very humbling to think about. And then in the next article, the pastor brings out, this really struck me. Who do we fight for? Well, that's not a trick question, but I asked Brother Lou, I said, who do we fight for? He said, God. I said, no. Here it says, we don't fight for God. He doesn't need anyone to fight for him. We fight for ourselves. We're running for our life. And we're fighting for our life. In fact, God fights for us, the article said. Now, isn't that something? God fights for us. He's fighting for us, in our defense, in our help, that we'll be successful. And so I was very touched by Brother Elbert's advice there at the end. Let's be successful, brethren. So this convention's been very humbling. Your own talk in the discourse that you gave, Brother Darcy, and in the poem that you read, very humbling, because I recognize myself at that big mouth, shallow and loud vessel. I want to be that little clay vessel that the Lord can use to make a beautiful vessel out of. And apologize to the brethren for my awkward ways and my undone condition. But I think this original morning resolve is so beautiful, I'd like to read it. I will this day try to live a sincere and serene life, repelling promptly every thought of discontent, anxiety, discouragement, impurity, and self-seeking, cultivating cheerfulness, magnanimity, charity, and the habit of holy silence. Exercising economy in expenditure, carefulness in conversation, diligence in appointed service, fidelity to every trust, and a childlike confidence in God. That's what I really want, Brother Darcy, and I want that for my brethren too. Please pray for me.
Thank you, Sister Judy. You know, when the Lord called you, he didn't say, well, let's call Judy and see if she can make it. He called you because he wants you to make your calling election sure. And he's going to help you do that. All you have to do is take advantage of the opportunity and privileges. And he doesn't look at our words and things so much because we have that robe. As long as we're repentant of those things and we are striving against them, he will bless you. And you will be faithful. May he continue to be with you.
Dear brethren, I'm Sister Karen Baker from the Hope, Indiana Ecclesia. Brother John and I are, of course, very, very happy and thankful to be here in the open door that the Lord has given. And we're thankful to get to know the different brethren out here. You're all very dear to us. And we especially... coming here, we've reflected on, in the past, we've kind of had a little entourage that we've brought with us at different times, either our mothers or widows in our area. In the past, I think the brethren remember that Sister Eunice Liskey came out with us a few weeks before she died. And also a few years ago, Sister Mildred Raffle came with us, and of course she's gone now too. But we're very thankful for those memories. And I know when we were getting on the plane the other night, John and I were taking our luggage down, and we kind of looked around like, well, is this it? Is it just us? And it seemed like that we should be pulling more along. But the Lord's providence is such, that's the way it worked out this time. But we're very thankful for the blessings here and also at our home class. Our class is very enthused in their studies and in the volume studies, and we have very stimulating studies, which we are very, very thankful for at this time, that we have some that have such a zeal for the Lord and the truth. And we're thankful to be here. We find that same spirit here also. And we're learning many good lessons. We're seeing how completely our lives are in the hand of God, and learning to trust Him more. He works out big things and He works out little things. There's been some doors that the Lord has closed, and you kind of wonder why. But then doors have opened later, and you can really see what the Lord can do. And so we're very thankful for that, and we're very thankful. We want to be submissive to these open doors that the Lord has given us, and appreciate to think that we could do anything for our God is very humbling. And there's been some very good talks at this convention about our walk in Christ and what we're called to. And I'm reminded of a story a brother in Michigan told me, and he's gone now, but he related about how when he was up before the CO board in World War II, he had a really nice witness to him about the call of the church and how he's called to be separate from the world and how they hope to bless the world of mankind and the kingdom and the resurrection. And of course, these worldly men are listening to all this, and when he's done, they write down on his paper, delusions of grandeur. And you think about what we've been called to the worldly mind, we're saying we're going to be like God. We're going to rule the universe. And they would think we're nuts. And so, you know, it's just such a grand thing. I mean, it is so, so beyond our little worlds and our little lives. And even, you know, when we fly in the airplane, you look down and the world's so vast and these little lights. And it's just such an amazing thing to have the Lord's truth in our lives. It's really given us a purpose beyond just merely living for ourselves. And so we just can't thank Him enough. We have just so much to look forward to be with our dear brethren that have gone beyond the veil, and then to of course meet God and Jesus. And I just think in the world how wonderful it will be when I think most people in their lives, if you think about the whole life world over, most people have had very, very little love. And if they do have it, it's for a very short time. And how wonderful it will be when the world of mankind and all of us will just have all the love we could possibly stand. And that will be, I think it's just beyond our hearts to really comprehend. But I want to leave with you one scripture that I've been thinking about, and that's in Psalms 121, verse 2. And it's a very simple scripture, but it's full of a lot of meaning. It says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." I mean, what an understatement that this grand heaven and earth, and He has all the stars have a name, that He's our help. So thank you.
Thank you, Sister Karen. You know, in spite of the fact that you couldn't drag anyone along, we're appreciative of the fact that you're here. And we were thinking as you were testifying that, you know, the Lord doesn't need anything that we can give, but He does want everything we can give. May He bless you in your effort. Sister Kelly?
Brother Darcy and dear friends, I'm Sister Kelly Joe from Salem, Oregon. And we wanted to recognize our dear brethren that are online right now listening in and a part of our gathering here, and how much we do love them, and just felt a special need to reach out to them. The online brethren have been a real mainstay and blessing in my first year of consecration, and along with, of course, my home ecclesia have been so supportive and taught so much, and we just wanted to extend our special love to them that they are here with us. And other than that, really don't have much to say except just highly appreciative of this closing of our first year in our consecrated walk and up here in Seattle again, and really appreciated what we've learned this weekend, and appreciated meeting Sister Marisha and all of the the new faces, and just very grateful to the Lord's overruling providences and blessings. And there's probably nothing that I could say that all of you haven't experienced many times, and probably are much more aware of this early consecrated walk and what I'm going through than I am myself. But just wanted to raise my voice in praise and thanksgiving to dear Jesus Christ, and to know that that is really what we're all here for. And one thing occurred to me last week, dear Sister Judy from our home ecclesia took a snapshot picture of our ecclesia, and a few faces were missing from it. And I just thought how wonderful it was, the old life I gave up, where I had tried to experience love and relate to people my whole life. And my new friends are people just like me who love Jesus Christ with all their heart and love the ransom. And that's the most important thing. And I thought, isn't this wonderful that my new friends, my new brothers and sisters, have the same heart and mind as me? I mean, what more could we want? And so please pray for me as I pray for all of you.
Thank you, Sister Kelly. And indeed, we should always keep in our minds our brethren, those of like kindred heart and spirit, and appreciative of the fact that while none of us have exactly the same experience, we're going to have all the necessary experiences to make us conquerors. And may the Lord continue to bless you. We have time for some more, brethren.
Brother Darcy and dear brethren, I'm very happy to be here. It's a blessing to be here with the brethren. I'm Sister Linda Honecker from Vancouver Island, and I'm here with my husband, Brother Merv, and my mom, Sister Phoebe. And it's been a blessing to be here and be able to stay with Brother Peter and Sister Laurel. We've enjoyed them very much. We've had some experiences just recently that are ongoing that are very interesting, and we could use prayers on our behalf that we make right decisions. For the last year or more, we've been talking back and forth, Brother Merv and I, about whether we should sell the place we live and move, because we've been considering the fact that, well, hopefully the fact that I should retire in a year or so, and what we will be able to do as far as for the brethren and this and that, and trying to make those decisions. And the place where we live is out in the country, substantially in the country, and very beautiful with trees and ferns, and we really love a lot of things about it, but it's a little far away, and there's many things about it, and so we've been humming and hawing because our flesh really does like a lot of things about that place, and trying to make decisions. And so much talk, and eventually last Saturday we listed the place for sale, thinking, well, let's see. Well, Wednesday it sold. So we considered that a direction. And now by the end of April we have to move, and we are blessed with having a place in Victoria that we rent because of my job, so we have a place to go. And Brother Merv has collected a lot of good stuff at our place. And this good stuff may be more difficult to move than the household stuff. So, I mean, the blessing is this person who bought it, and it's 6 acres out in the middle of, you know, not nowhere, but far from somewhere. And they've said, you know, you can keep the garage, which is quite big and full, till the end of June, and you can leave the rest of the good stuff under the trees until the end of July, and so you have time to move. And so we just have to be out of the house by the end of April. So everything was a real blessing. And so we're trying to consider move, and try and consider what the Lord's next move for us is as we try to plan. And we appreciate His leading, and we'd appreciate your prayers on our behalf.
thank you for sharing that with us. You know, we were thinking of the text as you were talking about, here we have no continuing city. And these are just places and just things. And they're useful if they help us make our calling election sure. And we know that the brethren will pray for you and that the Lord will direct you in your decisions and in your opportunities.
Dear brethren, Brother Dan Beard from Puget Sound Bible students, and certainly been enjoying the blessings of this convention, and I appreciated Sister Judy's comment regarding Brother Matthew here, because we've done this service. It reminds us of the heave offering, right? You gotta keep that up there until the Lord says enough. We had lots of rich blessings the other night. Kathy and I were kind of talking in the study, and this thought came up regarding, you know, not many wise, not many noble are called. And we've been thinking about that a lot lately. Your poem on the clay that takes the broken pot, you know, kind of goes right along with that. And looking at this text in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter there, really, Brother Paul, he starts out there with verse 18 talking about the foolishness of the worldly wisdom, right? And how God makes that foolishness. And how God's wisdom seems foolish to the world. As Sister Karen brought out there. And he sets that up. And he says, what he's preaching here that is wise is Christ crucified. And to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and deliverance. What a beautiful description is there for us. And you know, sometimes the brethren's weaknesses are forced upon our attention. We don't want to see them. We want to see that rich robe of Christ's righteousness covering them. But sometimes it's forced upon our attention. What do we do? Do we do like our Lord and in love seek to hide those blemishes? Or do we expose them to others? Our desire is to hide them. And if we can help them to grow strong and be an overcomer, we'll do what we can there. You know, and then Paul in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "For I determined to know nothing among you," the word there is about you, "I have determined to know nothing about you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And that's what we want to know about our brethren. How are you doing as a part of the Christ, the anointed? And our desire for you is to be faithful. Our desire for ourselves is to be faithful. And when we think or see some of these blemishes forced upon our attention, let's remember this text. Not many wise, not many noble, but the foolish, the weak, the base. These are the things whom the Lord calls. These are the Lord's people. And we love each and every one. And we ask an interest in your prayers. And we pray for you also.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Certainly, if we are putting on Christ, then we'd best be looking at things the way he does. And he is looking at that new creature. And that's what we need to be seeing as well. May the Lord continue to bless you with the appropriate eyesight, Brother Dan. Brethren, we're getting close to the end of the time, and before we miss the opportunity, if there are any here that are appreciative of what North Seattle has done in the convention, we would like to see a show of hands. And also, any that would care to express their love to those that are not here but will receive visits or communications from those that are at the convention. All those in favor. Thank you very much, brethren. Sister Sharon.
Brother Darce and fellow pilgrims, in this narrow way, I am so thankful that we had the privilege of coming to convention. In the Northwest, I know you in the East probably will find this humorous, but in the Northwest, this is our first convention, other than all-day meetings, but this is our first convention of the year, so we're very grateful for that. I have many precious memories of this convention, and I remember Brother Freeman singing Precious Memories just before at this convention and in a testimony meeting. And from ever since then, when I think of my dear brethren that have gone beyond the veil or are no longer with us in our areas, I think of the precious memories that we have shared. So thankful to see the Stewarts here. I wasn't one that voted for them to leave. I don't know how my vote got not counted, but I didn't vote for that. I also appreciate the rejoicing on the Philippians 4 text. I've been trying to work on this more this year. I shared this manna text with some other dear saints that walk this way, and it's been a privilege to walk with them and to know that we share this text. But when you look at all that text that comes in the March scriptures, in rejoicing always, and again I say rejoice, and then it talks about moderation, talks about being careful, and then it gives talks about our peace, and then it goes on, of course, with whatsoever things you do. And then down in the ninth verse, it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So we have action also, not only the prayerful, the meditation, but we have an action part in what we do. And I am a mover and shaker in some ways, and I am thankful that the Lord has given me strength to do some things that are small but and inconsequential. Yes, thank you. That word, and so I appreciate this, because we all can't do other things, so I'm thankful to do that. I'm thankful for my cross. It has been heavy this last couple months in some ways, but again, I'm rejoicing that the Lord provided it for me, and I provided it at a time that I didn't see the experience coming. And also at night before I, after I say my prayers, I always sing to myself the hymn 343 and counting my blessings for the day. And again, that comes up in there about the cross. Sometimes we're about bearing that cross, and maybe it wasn't what we had in store for that day, but it's a blessing. And then the last thing is that I have the privilege of being submissive and going with my dear husband to New Brunswick Convention and then on to Romania and Moldova, and I want to be a blessing, because I really don't see the value in me going other than to help with the clothes washing and shaking the hands and giving hugs, and because sometimes you don't know the language, but he seems to think I have a place, and so I want to be a blessing. And so if you run out of brethren to pray for, maybe remember me in July particularly. And then the other thing, I want to thank the senior Kirkhams for, again, opening their home to us. And I want to thank Sister Jean for her love and care for me and mine. I pray for you, and let's be faithful, dear brethren, to our crosses. Let's be faithful to that covenant that we have made with the Lord and press on and pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Thank you, Sister Sharon. And there are not enough brethren around that we'll run out of ones to pray for, but certainly we know the friends will remember you and that the Lord will strengthen you as you take advantage of the privileges and opportunities that he's granted to come your way. May the Lord be with you all, brethren. We have appreciated your testimonies, and we rejoice with you in the Lord and recognize that we have been filled at the convention, and now we have to go apply. And we pray that the Lord will bless you in that application. Brother Robert.
Thank you, Brother Darcy, for doing such a fine job of hearing the testimonies of the body. Appreciate your service there. We had some online brethren that we're bringing love for. Brother Alex, I guess, alias Carl, and Lauren Rose, and Sister Jackie and Joe Sarasi. We've gone a little bit over, so let's have one verse of a hymn. If you don't mind, I'll pick hymn number 229, Oh to Be Nothing, because we had several reference the broken vessel to be used of the Lord. Hymn number 229, Oh to Be Nothing, 229.
Which verse, Brother?
First verse. First. And let's rise, brethren, and sing that verse.
Gracious, kind, all-wise, loving Heavenly Father, in the precious name and merit of Jesus, we approach thy throne of grace, thanking thee, Father, that thou hast been with us in this hour, that thou hast listened to our testimonies and received the heart intention of all. Father, we praise thee and we thank thee for the privilege of this narrow way and the opportunity we have of being of that church, that body of Christ. We pray a greater measure of thy Spirit, a help and guidance and strengthening, that we can go forward more zealous and determined to come off more than a conqueror. And if it be according to thy will, we pray thy blessing upon this desire of all. We ask that thou will be with us now as we partake of the temporal good things that have been provided. We do thank thee for them. And we pray for the full establishment of thy kingdom of the earth, that the world too can receive thy blessings. We earnestly ask for and pray always according to thy will. In Jesus, amen.